Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say once again, thank you for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast. Today is Monday, April 13th, 2020. Have a question for all of us this morning. How was your Easter celebration yesterday? Yesterday, I think it's the first time in all of our lives that we've ever had to meet together online instead of in person. It was an adjustment. It was definitely an inconvenience, but remember, the early church had their inconveniences their first Easter. They were under siege, persecution, pressure from the Romans, from the Jewish establishment. And so the early church had inconveniences, and I think we're growing and learning through ours as well. I want to reflect on Easter a little bit. I finished doing a series on the promised Messiah, how God is in charge of history, how the Old Testament shows that hundreds of years in advance, God knew, God prophesied, God said to us he was going to send the Messiah. And the Messiah would do miracles. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would be born of a virgin. He would be crucified. All of that was pre-written history. And I showed how the Bible is so unique that the God of the Bible not only knows the future, he plans and brings the future about by his mighty power and providence. And yesterday we celebrated the glorious resurrection of Christ as Christ is pictured as conquering death, hell, Satan, and providing salvation for his people. It was a day of great celebration, despite the fact that when most of us were online instead of in person. But I want to pick up on the theme of the resurrection today and talk about what should our response to the resurrection be. We who have been brought out of darkness into light, we have been healed, forgiven. We have been given a new life, a new heart, a new spirit. Christ is risen from the dead, guaranteeing our future resurrection. But how do we live out that truth in our daily life? Well, there's one way we can do that. We live out in resurrection power, the power of the resurrection in our daily life and what that looks like. That power that gives us boldness in the face of persecution, courage in the place of fear. And in order, I think, to demonstrate what the power of a resurrected life looks like in a believer who has trusted Christ, I want to take us back to last year, to an incredibly horrible time for the Christians in Sri Lanka. Remember, last year on Easter, they were victims of a suicide bomber a terrorist attack that killed more than 350 people, many of them Christians. And when I look at how these same Christians a year later are living, I'm so inspired by their faith. But the first thing I want to do in talking about the power of a resurrected life, I want to take us back 1 year ago on Easter in Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka is invoking wartime military powers just one day after Easter bombings at churches and luxury hotels massacred dozens of Christians. Nearly 300 are dead and 500 injured, including four Americans. One was a fifth grade boy who attended a prestigious school here in Washington. It's being called a well-coordinated terrorist attack by a Muslim jihadi group that may have had help from ISIS. We will be joined by phone with Sri Lanka's Cardinal Ranjith, who has visited one of the bombing sites. But first, correspondent Wyatt Goolsbee joins me with more from the Sri Lankan Embassy in Washington. Good evening, Wyatt.
Good evening, Lauren. Authorities in Sri Lanka have already arrested 13 people in connection to the Easter bombings, but they say there will be more arrests likely soon. Tomorrow, the country will have a national day of mourning, and you'll notice the flag here at the embassy is at half staff. World leaders are offering their condolences and their support to the people of Sri Lanka. That includes President Donald Trump and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who called the Sri Lankan Prime Minister this morning. The President and the Secretary vowed to help Sri Lanka bring the terrorists to justice. Families are mourning loved ones who were lost in the Easter Sunday bombings in Sri Lanka, the deadliest violence since the country's civil war ended a decade ago. This Catholic man still visibly upset from yesterday's bombing, praying just outside of St. Anthony's Shrine, one of the country's best-known Catholic churches, and one of three churches attacked by suicide bombers. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo reflecting on the devastation.
What was supposed to be a joyful Easter Sunday was marred by a horrific wave of Islamic radical terror bloodshed.
Pompeo confirming some of the victims were American citizens. Authorities say a local jihadist group is to blame for Sunday's series of coordinated attacks across the island country, which is located near India in South Asia. The terrorists targeted three luxury hotels, apparently going after Christians celebrating Easter. Other targets included St. Sebastian's Catholic Church in the eastern part of the country and a Protestant Zion Church in the west. The Christian population in the Buddhist-majority country is only about 7%, and most of those are Catholics. Celebrity chef Shantha Maya Dunn and her daughter were among those killed. Maya Dunn's daughter posted a picture of the family at an Easter breakfast just minutes before a bomb hit the Shangri-La Hotel in Colombo. Pope Francis says he's praying for the victims and wounded, asking the faithful in St. Peter's Square to pray to the Virgin Mary. The Sri Lankan government is vowing to wipe out terrorism, but some locals are disheartened after the country's health minister admitted they failed to heed multiple warnings earlier this month from international intelligence officials that radical terrorists were planning to attack churches on Easter Sunday. Many are criticizing the Sri Lankan government for shutting down several major social media websites. The government said it wanted to stop the spread of false information. Today, the Knights of Columbus pledged to send $100,000 to the Catholic community in Sri Lanka to help rebuild and repair the churches. Lauren?
Those pictures were just devastating. Wyatt, thank you. Wyatt Goolsbee reporting from the Sri Lankan Embassy in Washington.
What a horrific tragedy. And you would think after they suffered such incredible loss of life, young children. In fact, there was a Sunday school class where the teacher, just moments before the suicide bomber detonated his bombs, she asked the class, "Would you be willing to die for Jesus?" And all the young kids raised their hands. Then they proceeded to walk out of the class outdoors, and they were greeted by this suicide bomber. But I want to focus in on these Christians in Sri Lanka and their response to this horrific attack. How did they respond a year later? I have a special report here from Open Doors, which you can find on my page, Praying for the Persecuted Church on Facebook. It's right there so you can read the whole story in its entirety. But I want to focus in on the topic this morning, the power of the resurrected life, how we respond to the resurrection as Christians. I want you to hear this story. When 24-year-old Rebecca walked into her family's living room, the writer Linda Lowry said, "I almost stopped breathing. The complete left side of her body and parts of her right side are covered with third-degree burn wounds. The top of her head is missing a large chunk of hair, revealing her bald scalp. At first, she seems shy, unwilling to share. But when her brother talks about her sister, Verlina, waking up on Easter morning at 3 a.m. to pray with Rebecca, she suddenly engages in the conversation. 'Why did your sister wake you up to pray?' I asked. 'We were supposed to sing a song together, just like the Sunday before,' Rebecca answers quietly. 'Do you remember which song?' She nods, and she and her older sister, who was unhurt in the attack, begin to sing. 'We don't understand the words, but it's a song about Jesus, a song about the hope we have in him.' 'What do you remember of that day?' I ask Rebecca. 'Not much,' she says. 'I was in the bookshop, and the suicide bomber stood right outside when he detonated the bomb in his backpack. All I remember is fire, fire everywhere.'" Now, Linda says this to this young victim. "I tell her she is beautiful, and quote Paul's words in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, reminding her that Jesus has taken on our suffering. 'I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his church, the body.' The wounds Paul carried shows us how much Jesus loves us. I tell this young girl who has faced unthinkable adversity in the last year, quote, 'It's the same with you, Rebecca.' She lets the words sink in. 'What is your hope for the future?' I ask, unprepared for what will come next from these young girls' lips and heart. Here's what Rebecca says. 'I want to testify about what happened to us and to testify of who Jesus is,' she says resolutely." Think about what Rebecca says standing there, still marred from the wounds of that attack. And listen to her words. "I want to testify about what happened to us and tell people who Jesus is." This is a perfect example of how young believers respond to the resurrection, how the resurrection of Christ provides that power, that courage, that boldness in the face of adversity. This is a young girl, and many young girls in her situation may be walking away from the faith, may be so discouraged and so hurt by their wounds that they feel hopeless. This young girl has resurrection power in her heart and mind because as a result of this adversity, she has courage and she says, "I want to testify about what happened to us and to testify of who Jesus is." Another story. 6-year-old Debbie lost both of her parents in the Easter Sunday bombings in Sri Lanka last year. She also lost her eyesight. Yet, 6-year-old Debbie continues to dance. "I am excited for when Jesus will come. He will open my eyes and I will see my family again. And I can finally tell Satan that Jesus will trample his head." Wow. Even in this time of uncertainty, you can hear Debbie's joy. She is filled with the resurrection power of Christ. She has hope in Jesus. She says, "I know when Jesus comes, he will open my eyes. I will see my family again one day, and then I can finally tell Satan that Jesus will trample his head." That's what Jesus did in the resurrection. He crushed the serpent's head. I want to take us now to the scriptures to see the result of the resurrection power in the life of the first early church disciples. Now, remember, when Jesus was crucified, they were hiding, from the Romans. They were hiding from the Jewish establishment. They were filled with fear. And then when Christ arose from the dead and displayed his wounds to them and showed himself alive and promised to send them the power of the Holy Spirit, suddenly their lives were immediately transformed by his resurrection power. We read this perfect example in Acts chapter 4. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated, common men, that they had been with Jesus, but seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded him to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Here we see a perfect illustration of living the power of the resurrected life. These once timid disciples were now filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with boldness. They were unashamed and unafraid to speak and to preach and to heal in the name of Jesus. They were commanded, stop preaching in this name. And they said, no. We must obey God. We must preach and teach in the name of Jesus. We are seeing, just like in the Sri Lanka Christians, a boldness, a courage to confront persecution, to confront adversity. And so here's how we reflect on the resurrection. Jesus is raised from the dead. We are forgiven. We are sealed by the Spirit. We are sanctified by the Spirit. We are sent out as witnesses in the power of the Spirit, living the power of the resurrected life, to preach with boldness, with courage in the face of persecution, in the face of opposition. And right now I want us to listen to a song by Chris Tomlin that talks about resurrection power in our lives.
You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old is passed away. The new has come. Now
incredible worship song from Chris Tomlin, Resurrection Power. We're talking about responding to the resurrection this morning on the cross in the desert. We've given examples of the Christians in Sri Lanka after the suicide bomber, how they are facing their tragedy 1 year later. We've looked at Acts chapter 4 and saw how the early apostles and disciples confronted the opposition in the boldness and the power of the Spirit, that resurrection power. And, you know, I want to take us right now to a promise in the scriptures that will help us dealing with the fear of COVID-19 and everything that has hit us in the last month or so. Here's what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And this is what Joshua says. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In a practical way, I can relate to this promise from Joshua 1:9. I need it every day. I work in housekeeping at the hospital, and many of the floors that I pull the trash out of, these are COVID patients. And I have to be careful in handling the trash, in wearing latex, of washing up with sanitation or sanitizer, and always washing my hands later, and wearing a mask and just being extra specially careful in handling that trash. It is a challenge every day. You hear the horror stories of what this disease does to the respiratory system of everyone that catches it. And it's frightening. And so I look at this promise from Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I take that literally as I go every day to face this crisis. You know, I can't stay at home. I'm a healthcare worker. But, you know, I feel as though this is not only my calling, but my duty to go there and to keep that hospital clean. We're providing help for each other. We're supporting each other. We're in this together. And the one thing that I'm encouraged by as well is the resurrection power of Jesus that we as Christians celebrate today. The day after the resurrection, this resurrection power will ultimately destroy and defeat this evil virus and send it back to hell where it came from. And so I'm encouraged by who Jesus is, by his power, by his sovereignty. I'm encouraged by what the word says. And so as a response to the resurrection, let me ask you, how are you living? Do you have that fearlessness and that boldness of living the resurrected life, responding to what Jesus has done for us? Or do you even know him? The important thing we can learn right now through this COVID is that our lives are but a vapor. We think of our mortality. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, now is the time. Come to him and to find your hope and healing and forgiveness in him. This is the time to cry out to him and to find hope, to find healing, to find forgiveness. I want to thank everyone for joining me this morning on the cross in the desert. I pray that you have an incredibly great week. I'm praying for all of us. And God bless you. I will see you again on Thursday on the cross in the desert. Have a great week.